You're listening to the Law of Attraction Radio Network.
In the fall of 2013, Gary Temple Bodley began channeling a group of non-physical teachers known as Joshua. Soon thereafter, Joshua asked Gary to start writing. They have since produced 4 books and answered hundreds of questions in written form. In the spring of 2016, on the Law of Attraction cruise, Gary underwent hypnosis and Joshua spoke through him for the first time. Since that time, Gary has been practicing channeling Joshua verbally in live weekly calls with one-on-one students. These Joshua calls are now available to those of you joining us on the Leading Edge of Thought. This is the expansion of the Law of Attraction. This is Joshua Live. We're thrilled you're here.
Hi, everybody. I'm Gary Temple Bodley. Thanks so much for being here. We are about to get going on a brand new Joshua Live in just a couple minutes. Before we start, I'd like to ask you a favor. Could you please subscribe to this podcast or leave a comment or leave a review or anything like that, or even share it with your friends, put it on Facebook, let everyone know about this podcast, because no one really knows about it. You know, we're in the spirituality genre. We're in like the top 200 or 300 in different countries around the world. It's growing little by little by little, and we want to make a bigger impact by reaching more people. So if you like this podcast, why not share it with your friends? Why not leave a review or leave a comment and let us know what you think? You can also join us at the Friends of Joshua Facebook group, and we post lots of cool stuff there. So thanks for being here, and let's get on with today's show. We are thrilled to be here.
Welcome.
We'd like to bring you back to this one simple idea. The simple idea is this: this reality that you're experiencing with your feelings. It's a feeling reality, and you are guided by those feelings, and those feelings will lead you everywhere you truly want to go. And so when you think about what you want to feel in this reality, well, you think about feeling good. What you want to feel is to feel good. You always want to move towards feeling good. As long as you're moving towards feeling good, you're moving towards where the love is. You're moving towards where the satisfaction is. You're moving towards where all your desires are, especially your true desires, the desires you intended prior to your birth. When you're feeling good and you're maintaining this idea that I would like to feel even better, I'd like to feel something even more wonderful, I'd like to feel even more love and more appreciation, more gratitude. I'd like to feel so good that I am an example of feeling good to other people. I want to feel every feeling fully and not discount any feelings and realize when I'm feeling good, I am in alignment. I am happy. I am fulfilling my potential. I am bringing forth inspiration. I'm being the fullest version of myself. I'm being that example of alignment. I'm being an example for others to follow. I'm living life as I intended, as I feel good. And sometimes I'm not feeling so good. And that's okay too, because you didn't come here just to feel good. You came here to mix it up a little bit. Because if you only came to feel good, you could sit on the sofa and you could watch TV and you could pet your dog all at the same time, and sure, that would feel good. But that feeling would not last very long, and it would sort of get a little boring after a while. And so you would say, I have to get off this couch and I have to mix it up and I have to do something that possibly might not feel good in exchange for a new feeling of feeling good, something even more powerful, something even more nuanced, something even more attractive, you see. And so that's what this life is. It's a movement, moving from feeling good to getting stagnant, to seeking some other feeling, to moving towards that feeling, to feeling good again, to feeling too good, to possibly trying to back down off that too good feeling, to be uncomfortable, to push outside your comfort zone, all for this game of life, all for the feeling of it, the feeling of love. And as you move towards the feeling of love, as you realize everything is good, as you set up your entire life to feel good, then your life will unfold magically, effortlessly, and wonderfully in every area that you can think of. And with that, we'd like to talk to you about anything you'd like to talk about. Who would like to start?
I'd like to start.
I have a question.
Yes.
Okay, Michelle, you go.
All right, I'll make it quick. So I'm approaching fear from a different angle now. I'm actually embracing and welcoming the fear. I'm having a new experience of fear where I wake up every morning now crying. I just got news that I have to have a biopsy, and it's really kind of changed my perspective on life. I'm scared, but along the same lines, instead of trying to talk myself out of the fear, I'm allowing it to happen for me. I'm embracing the fear that's there because it's somehow, I don't see how it's going to work out for me, but it could possibly, it will, it is guaranteed working out for me.
Always.
So can we talk about the acceptance and embrace of fear as opposed to the resistance to it?
What is the fear telling you?
The fear is telling me that it is an emotion to be felt and processed, not to be stuffed away, not to be stored, that if I actually feel this fear, it might motivate me to do, you know, to push forward.
If there was no limiting belief, mm-hmm. could you feel the fear?
No.
So the fear is simply an indication of a limiting belief. It's a belief that causes you to perceive your reality in certain terms. The belief that you have is limiting. It's not a bad belief. It's not a wrong belief. It's simply a limiting belief. For you to become who you intended to be, who you truly are, to come to the fullest version of you, to be at that place where all your desires are manifested, you would have to be something different. And that difference is your set of beliefs. The limiting beliefs would have to be softened or reduced in intensity for you to become this version. And so the universe will set up certain situations that allow you to find these limiting beliefs and process these limiting beliefs. That's all it is. Now, the limiting belief exists as a belief absent of information. If you had all the information, that belief would not be limiting whatsoever. It would be an empowering belief. You simply lack information. You lack clarity. And so as you go through whatever the manifestation event is that points out the limiting belief, you gain clarity through expansion. And you come through this experience to a more expanded, more knowledgeable, a version of you that has more information. And that version of you will exist at a completely different level, ready to tackle whatever the issue is. Because you can't have anything that you're not prepared for. You're just simply going through that journey from the unprepared state, which you perceive yourself to be now, to the expanded state. And that expanded state will have the information, have the clarity. And had you existed in this state now, this event would not be necessary because you would have already had the information, you see. So this is a process of gaining information to realize that belief was limiting the whole time and was never true. And so this is what you want in life. This is the journey of it. This is what you want to have. You want to have these experiences where you are resisting what's happening because you think what's happening is wrong. And ultimately, you'll come to some realization that it was right the whole time. That it was, the timing was perfect. The exact way it unfolded was perfect. That the people you met along the way, the information that you gained, the experience that you can now share with others, all of it was necessary. You had to have this experience. You could not have opted out of it because you needed to get to another version of yourself. You needed to expand through that experience. And this is true of all manifestation events, of all experiences. You need the experience. So what does that mean? That's mean that if an experience is necessary for your growth, it must come. And if it's not necessary for your growth, it cannot come. And if it does come for your growth, then it's always, always beneficial. Always. Now, your choice in this matter is to say, I resist what's happening, or I am curious about what's happening. I will allow it. I am looking forward to seeing how this pans out. I don't know how it's going to pan out, but I do have faith in the system of physical reality and the universe and in my wisdom of my inner self and the wisdom of source that's always flowing through me. Whenever I'm in alignment, I can have faith that it will always work out. Now, the issue with fear is that in fear, you tend to attract more thoughts of fear. And that fearful thoughts ramp up and they create urges to change conditions, urges to see yourself as a victim, urges to say, I must control this issue, urges to say, I need to seek advice outside of myself, urges that will tell you to do things that are not in line with who you are. If you can realize that this is just part of the process and somehow, some way, get back into alignment to see that all the answers will come from inside, and all the necessary people that you will need to meet, the information you'll need to gather, will all come from alignment, and none of it will come from the urges to change conditions. Excellent. Who's next?
I would like to ask a question. Just going on the topic of fear, I was talking to a very close person to me, and you know, we were having a conversation about the world and everything that's going on, and I was allowing him to just sort of express his experience and what he is feeling and going through in terms of fear of the government, fear of, you know, all of the things that we are working on and trying to dispel. My question specifically is, can you help me understand why I get so much anxiety and fear when other people are fearful, and how can I stay better in alignment when other people are afraid and trying to, you know, project their fears onto me? And also, is my desire for them to feel good a desire, or is it an urge to change the conditions so that I feel better, not focused on their fear?
You and all of you listening are uplifters, are light workers, are spiritual leaders and teachers. You've come here to move humanity from fear to love, to work with that process, to work with the collective consciousness. And so you're all highly sensitive. Part of being a spiritual leader and teacher, a light worker, an uplifter, is to have a highly tuned emotional guidance system. And so when others around you are distressed, your great wish is for them to feel better. And we will always bring it back to the fundamental here, is that because you have a limiting belief that they should be different than they are, that they should see things that you see, that they should know things that you know, that if only they could live life more like you with less fear, that they would feel better. Because you understand that and you're aware of it, the limiting belief says, I cannot feel happy when someone else is sad. I cannot feel aligned when so many people are out of alignment. I cannot run around happy as a clam when so many are depressed. I am here to assist those as they move from fear to love. And therefore, if they are wallowing in fear, then I am not doing the work that I intended to do. And so all of it then is to ease that negative emotion. Negative emotion, my wishing or hoping that they would somehow come into their own alignment. And instead, the higher perspective here is to understand that they are doing that work now, that they couldn't be in a conversation with you at all if they weren't seeking this alignment, if they didn't know that there's something resonating in you that they want, that ability to step outside of what's happening in the conditions and to focus on the alignment that is possible within you, the love that's flowing through you. You see, the illusion is that things are wrong. And the broader out you look to find the things that are wrong, you will find them. And your society is engaged in trying to control as much of this as possible. And so people like to read the news and watch the news on TV and listen to the complaints of others as a method of maintaining some sense of control. If I'm aware of this terrible thing, then I have some control over this terrible thing. Well, you know that that doesn't work with the laws of the universe. That's in violation of those laws. You put your focus on what you prefer, not what you do not prefer, to move towards that which you prefer. You don't focus on the things that you personally do not prefer. And those of your friends who are focusing on what is wrong are really bringing themselves into a different reality. Because if they were to detach from that, their reality in their living room would be perfect, just as it is in yours, you see. There is nothing terrible going on. It's the perception that something in the future might happen that is causing them to be distressful. And then they're living in that stream of consciousness of fear, and they're pulling up urges to change the conditions. They're pulling up urges and urges and urges, and that is manifest often in the form of complaining. Complaining. Who can I complain to? Who can agree with me that this is bad? If I can get enough consensus among all the people in my life that this is wrong, then I feel I have some control over it, and that's simply an illusion. So, how do you solve the problem of your negative emotion? By understanding that they are all going through a very valuable process. A process in understanding that control cannot work, that control is not effective, that control is based in fear, and more focus on fear simply brings more things to fear. And so at some point, they're going to come to the conclusion that this focusing on control and fear isn't working. And they will say, I want to know what does work, because this clearly doesn't work. This approach to life of living in fear clearly does not work. I wonder if there's anyone around me who has ever heard of a different approach to life. And then they will be drawn to you because their inner selves will always guide them to the path of least resistance. And all of you want to be the path of least resistance for those people to find a new approach to life, to find that through you. But if you are allowing yourself to be swayed or influenced by their fear, then you will sort of be resistant to those coming to you, because it'll be too much to take on. If you look at them as if they were perfect, because that's truly what they are, you can say, you are perfect in how you are exploring this. This is something that I have found. I have found this works for me. Why not adopt this one modality? It could be meditation. It could be listening to an Abraham. It could be listening to one of our podcasts. It could be listening to something that's inspirational. It could be mindfulness. It could be anything like that. And as they pull on the thread of this new interest, they will discover that which resonates with them based on their pre-birth intentions. And since you cannot know what those pre-birth intentions are, all you can do is realize if they're in your life, if you're having a conversation with them, if they ask you a question, that's the time to uplift them, not by saying what they're doing is wrong, but just sharing what you've learned, sharing your perspective. Everything is taught through perspective. Nothing is taught to anyone by telling them that they're doing it wrong. Just what if you tried this? What if you did this one thing? What if you read this one thing? What if, how do you feel about this one idea? That sort of thing.
Thank you. That's great. That's really great. Thank you.
Excellent. Who's next?
I have a question, Joshua.
Yes.
So I feel like my question does tie into the last question and answer. My boyfriend has been going through for the last year a pretty ugly divorce. And he gets very triggered when pretty much anything pertaining to his ex and that situation comes up. And I said something a couple of days ago that was obviously triggering for him, that maybe he thinks I'm defending her or whatever it was that he said. I haven't spoken to him about it yet because he's not wanting to talk to me right now. So I feel uncomfortable with the level of sort of anger and vitriol that he is feeling around this situation, because at the same time, I feel like he has a right to feel that way considering the things that happened. He's definitely the victim in this situation, not the perpetrator. But I see things from a different perspective, and I want to help him to see things from that different perspective.
And why do you want to help him? Why do you want to help him?
Because I don't like how I feel when I'm around him.
Exactly.
You want facial expressions and body language and everything.
You want to change him. If only he was happy and fun and enjoying his life, enjoying his ex, feeling that the divorce is no big deal. If he was just seeing everything from the higher perspective, then you could enjoy him.
Sure.
If the conditions are great, then unconditional love is very easy.
Sure.
But you can't learn anything from great conditions. In fact, great conditions will get very boring after a while. It's actually what it is you want to have a feeling of the great conditions. Maybe when you first meet, when you first fall in love with someone, ooh, this could be really fun. Oh, these conditions are great. Oh, everything's going good. Why? Because you're not attached to anything. You're not attached to anything. So you can fully enjoy the beginnings of a relationship because you have nothing to lose. It's all brand new. It's all interesting. It's all new. And if it falls apart, it falls apart. You're not attached to any of it. And then you become attached to it. And then you say, oh, sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. And then you say, oh, I wish it could be good like it was in the beginning. I wish it could be good like it was in the beginning. And so then you move around and you say, okay, how do I change this? Do I change who I'm being? Can I change this situation? How do I do it? And you try and control it more. And you say, you know, you should be different than you are. If you were different than you are, if you were just fixing this one little piece right here, if you're just fixing that one little piece, I know I'd be happy. I know I'd be happy. But you demand to be this one obstinate part of you, just in that one area. Boy, you're so close. You're so close. Well, I'm pounding you into a round peg or square hole and all that stuff. And they're not working. And so then you have to relax and you say, listen, I've just realized something. My happiness is tied to how you feel, and I can't control how you feel. So there's only one thing I can do. I have to disassociate my feeling with you. I have to say, you cannot control how I feel. I will say what I'm going to say, and if you get angry at that and try and control me, well, that's your right. You can try and control me if you want. I'm not going to be controlled. I'm going to say it. You can hear it or not hear it. I'm going to say it. Not to fix you, only because I'm inspired to say it. I'm inspired to give you a little choice of perspective. Do you want to choose the limited perspective here, or do you want to choose the higher perspective? I promise you that if you chose to see the higher perspective in this situation around your divorce, things would go smoother for you. But I am not attached to which perspective you choose. I will detach from this needing you to see things my way. I know that if you saw them my way, you'd feel better, but that's up to you. If I really want you to be different than you are, then I'm simply not accepting you. I'm simply not loving you. And I came here to practice this idea of love and acceptance, which means that I have to practice accepting you when you don't accept me. Even though I feel tense and knotted up and in despair when you are angry at me, when you don't accept me. And my history says I must become a chameleon and change who I am so that you will accept me. So when you don't accept me, I feel as if I've done something wrong. And that's always been my pattern, feeling that I haven't been good enough, feeling that I haven't been enough. And when you accept me, I feel like I'm finally enough. And when you don't accept me, it feels so bad because it goes back to that feeling of not being enough. Well, now I'm going to opt out of all of that. I'm going to opt out of it. I'm going to say, you get to be you 100%. You get to complain and whine and try and control me and all that 100%. And I am not going to stop you from doing that. I'm not going to control you because that's never really worked. I'm going to just let you be, and I'm going to be who I am. And if you like this, great. And if you don't like this, it's okay. It's okay. But I'm not changing again. I'm going to process those limiting beliefs. I'm going to do the work internally, and I'm going to opt out of all control. And that means controlling who I am in front of you and controlling who you are in front of me. Can you imagine the power in that? Totally radically different approach to relationships. You get to be who you are 100%. Now, you won't always do this. You won't always do it. You'll always fall back here and there. But just the idea, the experiment, how authentic can you be? And how can you let him be who he is? How far can you let that go? Wow. If you played with this, we promise you, your entire dynamics of all your relationships will radically change. You be who you authentically are. You can't make a mistake. You can't say a wrong thing. You can't be bad. You can't do anything to make him dislike you, because that's not within your power. He has his own set of beliefs. He has some limiting ones and some beneficial ones. You're going to trigger the limiting ones occasionally. That's just how it works. You're also going to trigger the beneficial ones too. That's how it works. And he's going to respond to you based on how he's perceiving you through his particular lens, through his filter. You say you have no control over that filter. So instead of trying to be something you're not by walking on eggshells around this certain subject and then regretting if you say something that triggers him, now you can just be who you are and act on inspiration. Act on inspiration. And if you are inspired to say something that triggers him, you know that's for his highest good. You know that's a manifestation event he gets to have because of you. And that's always a good thing. He gets to expand through that. And in 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 years, when all this is past, he'll look back and he'll wonder why he was so upset in the first place. Because he doesn't have the information that he'll have then. He's just lacking the information of how all this turns out. He's just in fear. And when he's in fear, what's he going to do? He's going to pull up urges to change the conditions. You just happen to be the condition that is right there that he can change. If you would just commiserate with him, he thinks he'd feel better. That's not the truth, is it?
No.
But from that perception of reality, based on those limiting beliefs and based on the urges that pop up from the stream of consciousness of fear, that's what he thinks. That's his perception of reality. And he's not thinking clearly because he's thinking from a basis of fear.
And I'm not really, like, whenever this topic comes up, I try to support him. And like I said, like you've been saying, I've been just allowing him to have his process and to, like, do what he needs to do and feel what he needs to feel around it. But at the same time, like, oh, I lost my train of thought. But,
well, if you take his fear personally, you'll go back into that little girl mode of, oh, I'm not being good. Oh, he doesn't love me. Oh, I need to be different than I am. Oh, that I'm being too authentic in this case. And that I said something wrong, you see? So he's triggering you while you're triggering him at the same time. He's allowing you to see some limiting belief that's manifested throughout your entire life, that's coming to the forefront right now, that you are ready to process. And so it's never about the other person, because their limiting beliefs are unique to them and what they're going through. It's all about how you are feeling and what limiting beliefs are coming up for you and what manifestation events you're going through. That's the beauty of these interactions with people that are important to you, because you take it seriously and it really is intense.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Okay, thank you.
Who's next?
I have something along those lines.
Yes.
But mine's regarding my boss and kind of the phases I went through. So I have a new boss, and he started giving me new projects. And it was like completely outside of the realm of what I've done. And it scared me. And then we heard about massive layoffs that are coming at our company. And I thought, oh my God, he's setting me up, you know, to fail so that he can lay me off.
Where did that thought come from? Did that thought come from source, or did that thought come from the consciousness of fear?
Fear.
Isn't that interesting? 100%. Isn't it interesting that unrelated thought out of nowhere pops up to cause you to feel what? Even more fear. Even more fear. Mm-hmm. Ramping
right,
up.
Right, right. I'm not enough, and all that kind of stuff. Well, then I've come back around to where I see that what he's doing is giving me new work to set me up to win.
Exactly.
And these are new projects that he wants to make more use of me and make me more useful and make my job more fun. But my first thoughts were the fear part, where he's trying to lay me off, you know.
Exactly. And where was that? What was the basis of that first thought of fear?
Because I'm not worthy.
You're not worthy of what?
Just of anything.
You're not worthy
of having this job, or, you know, of being respected, of being
And
regarded.
Is that belief true or false?
It's false.
And how do you know it's false?
Because that is, it's all from fear, and it's not a, because I am, my true self is perfectly worthy. I don't have to do a thing to be worthy.
Exactly. And so for you to become who you intended to be, who you intended to be prior to your birth, the powerful, magnificent version of you, the version of you that is, we will say, 1,000 times more capable, productive, valuable, necessary than the version of you that exists now, what must happen? You must come to see that level of worthiness. And everything, every single thing, every person that comes in your life, every idea that comes to you, everything is designed to help you unlock those limiting beliefs and put them in the garbage, you see, so that you can move forward to more empowering beliefs and more empowering belief system. And all of this is an onion that is infinite, pulling away the layers, the illusion of imperfection. You see, you have everything you need right now to do everything that he suggests you do to a scale that's never been done before, except that you don't believe it and you can't see it. It's an illusion. Now, if this illusion was removed from you today, well, we guarantee you this would not be very much fun. This would be that much fun. You would be off doing some crazy thing, pushing past more fears that you could even imagine, and living life in a way that was not part of a journey. You want this journey to go from where you are now to where you will be in 5-7 years. Imagine that. Imagine that version of you that will exist then. Looking back at the version of you that will laugh at the idea that you felt any fear at all from this. You want the challenge to come. You want the fear to come. You want to know where those limiting beliefs are. You want to be pushed, prodded, goaded, cajoled, even insulted, embarrassed. You want all these these incredible emotions to see, wow, how could I even get embarrassed? How could that even be a thing? What do I have to feel shame for? How could I even imagine that doubt could stop me ever? You see, what is this fear of failure about? Why would I worry about that? Because I need people to think I'm successful? Well, how could I be successful if I have all this doubt, all this fear of failure? Those are the people who are unsuccessful, because they'll never push past anything to do these amazing things that you can do, that you will do. And so when something out of the blue comes, whether it is a new boss or a need for a biopsy or a need for a relationship to go haywire, when all of these things seem like it's not working, it's actually happening for you perfectly, because you're ready for it now. You're ready for it now. And of course it's scary, because without the limiting beliefs that are triggered by these events, you could not feel fear. You want to feel that fear. You want to know exactly what this is happening. What does it mean? Oh, it's just a limiting belief. Again, it's just a limiting belief. The same old one. Why? Who cares why? Who cares why? It's coming up again. Good. It's coming up again. Ooh, I get to see it from a different level, different level. You see, if you knew what was happening in the next 7 years, that journey of 7 years, you would say, oh, I recognize that new boss. That new boss is coming to show me my wobbles. The old boss was done with that job. Showed me enough wobbles. I was over that. Needed something new. Needed something new. Now, you can be focused on all of these manifestation events coming up. I want more. I want more. I'm going to do more in order to engage new potential limiting beliefs. I'm going to do more. I'm going to work harder, step outside, Ask for more things. Ask for more money. Mm-hmm. Ask for more assistance. Ask for what could be even better than this. Push it, push it, push it, push it. And then get back the manifestation of it. Ooh, that hurt. That hurt. What was that about? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. This limiting belief here. This limiting belief here. Let's prove that's wrong. Let's prove that's wrong. Let's go at it again. Let's find out. Sift and sort. Sift and sort. Sift and sort. Let's intensify these desires. Why not? I'm in the mix of this. Why not? Why not make $100,000 a year more than I'm making now? Why not? Why not see if I can attach a value? If I increase business X, I want this bonus. Why not? Why not? Why not pick a new car and say, when I get to this level, that's the car I'm buying. Cash. Yeah. I'm going to buy it then, you see. Why not pick a promotion and a certain date? Why not? You see, these are all things you can play with. How far can you push yourself? Not that you're going to feel good when they come, but you're going to use them as motivators, as tools to dive in even more deeply into whatever you're involved in, knowing it's all a game. It's all a game. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter at all. And you could quit this tomorrow and start something fresh tomorrow if you wanted to. But while you're in it, while your hands are dirty in the muck, why not dig deeper and then rub that muck all over your face? And just get in there not caring where it goes, just for the experience of churning up those limiting beliefs and then processing them, knocking them out of the way, and going on to the next one. That is what this life is about.
One more thing. I was able to tie it back to when I was growing up, my mom used to call me stupid all the time. So I know that, like, logically, I know that that's not true, but it still brings me back. And I think, oh, he thinks I'm stupid. Like, my boss thinks I'm stupid because that's what my, you know. And then I write about it, and I prove it wrong, but it's not gone.
I mean, did your mother actually think you were stupid?
I don't think so.
Or was she simply trying to control you so that she wouldn't feel that negative emotion every single time you triggered one of her limiting beliefs?
Yeah, I think she thought I thought she was stupid, so she called me stupid.
And
that's my guess. I don't know.
Yes. So imagine you have a child, you're trying to be this parent, this adult, this teacher, you assume that you know more because you're the adult, and the child knows more than you because the child comes in at a higher vibration, prepared for more stuff of this. The child is always the adult. The adult is never the adult. The adult is always the child, you see, because the child comes in at a higher vibration that matches the earth on the day of their birth. The adult came in 20, 30, 40 years prior to that and has not kept up to speed because they have not fully allowed their vibration to raise. There's been resistance there. And so imagine with this ego and this persona that you might have to adopt as a parent saying, I know more, you do what I say and you'll turn out. If you don't do what I say, I don't turn out. And then you don't do what they say and you turn out, and turns out that the parent didn't know what they're talking about the whole time. And now that ego is completely frustrated because you're doing things that they said you could never do, and and doing better than they ever did, and pulling apart that persona that was so carefully crafted in order to make them feel safe, and it never did, because it was all based in fear and control. So they did what they did also because that was part of the agreement.
Okay.
They had to start you off on a trajectory. They had to find a way to impart some limiting beliefs on you so that you would go forward and find out that that was never true and that you're far more powerful. When you were children, did you imagine at some point, let's say you're 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, that your parents were these perfect people that knew what was going on? And then at some point when you became an adult, didn't you realize they never knew anything ever at all? That's the illusion that you had when you were a kid. They're big, they're tall, they're powerful, they take care of me, they know what they're doing, they're adults. And then you find out that was an illusion. Well, the illusion too is that you were taught that you were imperfect. You were taught that you should be heard and not seen, that you should be controlled, you should be a certain, this is how you have to be. That was always an illusion too. Just like the illusion of them being perfect or being superior or being educated or being knowing more. That was an illusion. And you see through that illusion now. Well, the same is true. You have everything you need to do what you need to do in this moment. You are perfect in this moment. You cannot be less than perfect. You're always perfect. You've never been imperfect. You will expand to a new version of yourself, but that version will always be perfect too. You are perfect. The only thing that's there is the illusion of imperfection. See through that illusion by processing all your limiting beliefs, and boom, no need for physical reality. But if you can reduce the intensity here and there along the way to see your worthiness, then your reality has to reflect how you see yourself. That's all this is. All of this is a reflection of your vibration. Well, your vibration is really your opinion of yourself. Raise your vibration, which means raise your opinion of yourself. Understand that you are perfect, that you have everything you need, that you're supported in the loving universe, that you will always get whatever you need to explore, whatever you're exploring. Choose that exploration wisely based on the fact that you're worthy and perfect now, and then your life will reflect that until that gets boring. And then you'll peel some more layers off and try and see yourself from a higher perspective and go further and further and further. The sky's the limit. It does not end. You could have, be, and do anything in this reality, but you have to believe that you can do it, that you are capable of it. Now, if you perceive yourself as a victim, you are saying, I cannot do anything because I am not in control of this. Bad things can happen to me. Bad things. And you will prove it to yourself. The perception of yourself as a victim is an exploration where you discover that that is true. The new exploration that you are the creator of your reality, that you can be, have, and do anything, that nothing is off limits, that you are a limitless being, that exploration will also prove that your limitless nature is true as well. Now, this doesn't make for a better life necessarily, because if you're living as a victim, it's relatively feels relatively safe. Now, it is one of being mired in fear and conflict and not doing anything and not being your potential, but it feels relatively safe. It doesn't move around in that feeling of feeling too high or too low. The fear is just constant, right? If you choose to be the explorer of the explorer who is exploring how you're the creator of your reality, well, that is one of always seeking to see yourself from the highest perspective possible, always perceiving everything is happening for you, and always acting on inspiration that's coming to you. And that inspiration will always be accompanied by fear that you will have to push past or succumb to. If you push past it, that's scary, but it will always lead to your benefit and the benefit of all around you. If you succumb to it, that's intense inner conflict. Why aren't I doing these things that I'm inspired to do? Oh, because I feel unworthy. Oh, it's an exploration of unworthiness. Oh, I'm going to have to push past that and prove that I'm worthy. That is a scary exploration, because you're constantly pushing past fear, constantly moving out of your comfort zone, constantly feeling better, 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 and constantly feeling the negative emotion when you're in resistance. But this is the promise that we have come forth to give you, that as you explore this new approach to life, as you kick around the tires and see what's possible, you will receive more wonderful feelings, more wonderful experiences, more wonderful, elegant manifestations than you've ever experienced in life before. And you will gain a level of confidence that will allow you to push even further outside of your comfort zone, to do things even more powerfully. And you'll also see manifestation events and perceived failures and setbacks as shining a light on limiting beliefs. And that's all that is, as more guidance. This is an empowered way to live. This is a productive way to live. And this is the life you intended to live. You could not be here on this call now, in this boot camp, or listening to this at a later date, if you had not intended to come forth and challenge the old status quo of the old approach to life by embracing this potential benefits in this new approach to life. And that's why you're here. That's why you asked that question. That's why you are a spiritual leader and teacher. That's where all of this is going.
Thank you.
Excellent.
I love that last segment of conversation that you were just having. That's really, really good. Thank you. I have I don't know if it's a question, conversation, let's put it that way. I had an interesting situation come up. Last weekend, I was invited again to another barbecue with my ex-girlfriend and her new boyfriend, which is always an interesting exploration for me to see how I navigate that. But when I was there, my past girlfriend took me aside and asked me some questions about past training I've done with working with people in groups. And anyway, long story short, she kind of asked me, would I be willing to talk to her new boyfriend about his past divorces, because they're so fresh in his mind and he has unhappy feelings about it. So I ended up that I ended up having a conversation, a preliminary conversation with it, and now it's going to lead to more conversation. So it makes me curious about that. It makes me think, okay, what am I going to do with him? You know, how, what kind of conversations am I going to have with him? And what does he expect? What do I expect? And anyway, it's just kind of interesting that this person, especially this person, is engaging in a conversation with me. So I don't know. What do you think about that,
John? How does that make you feel?
It makes me feel kind of good. It makes me kind of feel a little bit afraid. It makes me mostly, I think the overlying emotion is a curious.
So you are engaged in this process of looking at your life as the creator of that life, of the creator of your perception of reality, as the creator of your set of beliefs, as the creator of your vibration, as the creator of everything that you attract and receive in your life. You are the creator of this. And so you are creating your way into the boot camp, you're creating your way on these calls, you're creating your way through this information, and you create your way into a meeting of your ex-girlfriend and her new boyfriend. And she is inspired to ask you to help him, mm-hmm. which is exactly what you're here for in the first place.
Yeah.
You can't figure out how you're going to help him. You couldn't have thought, I'm going to start a course for all these men who are resistant in their divorces.
Right.
You are just going with the flow of this. Knowing that you are a spiritual leader and teacher, not knowing how it's going to show up, here's how it shows up. And this is true for you and all of you. All of you at some point will have people in your life come by and see something in you that says, I have a question. Maybe he or she has the answer. And your part of it is to explore what it's like to let the inspiration flow to help someone else. Bring forth the inspiration of your inner self. Let your inner self have the conversation.
Right.
Understand it's a spiritual connection between you, this other person, their inner self, and your inner self. In this cycle that allows you just to flow thoughts, just like Gary is doing right now. Flowing thoughts that are coming at a level, speed, and capacity based in love for the benefit not of this other person that you think you're helping, mm-hmm. but for you.
Yeah.
Because all the information that comes forth from us answering your questions is actually for Gary. Mm. All of it is for Gary, for his journey. And of course, it helps you and those who listen to this as well. But ultimately, all of this coming forth is for him. What is he going to do with it? How is he going to see himself differently? How is he going to change his approach to life? How is he going to interact with all these different people? What is his priorities? What is he most concerned with right now? All of it is coming for him. And in that coming for him, he's sharing it with all of you. And you're getting something out of it as well. And then you are going forward and spreading it, spreading this love, this message of absolute acceptance. What do you do with your ex-wife? You love her. You love her. You understand she was in fear. That's all that was. And you thought that you were in a adversarial boxing match, and you are actually working together as you intended. You're eternally linked. You are eternally linked. as soon as you transition to the non-physical and she transitions to the non-physical, you'll meet together and you'll be one again with all that is, you
That's
see.
That's interesting.
Yep. And so those words that come through you will be for your benefit too. Think of it that way. You're not here to solve the problems of others. You're here to get into a flow state where you bring consciousness from the non-physical, from love, into the physical reality. You see, so many around you are bringing in that fear. They're bringing in the fear. They're acting on urges. They're making decisions that aren't going to benefit them. They're doing these things because they're in fear. They're not thinking clearly. They're not thinking properly. You are thinking about being in alignment and bringing in positive, pure, love-based ideas that will be of benefit to you and to all that is, including those who are around you.
Yeah, and it seems to me that the predominant thought that's coming to me is that it's about changing perspective, the way that I've had to change my perspective, you know. So I was thinking about starting with him to tell me what is his perspective now, and then seeing if I can move the situation where he sees it from a different perspective, because we can't change the past.
How would you feel if you saw this situation from this perspective? Would that help you feel better, or would this perspective make you feel worse?
And in the beginning, I think that there, in my case, and I imagine in his, it's going to be an unwillingness because we want to be right. We want to hang on to our,
You want to be right, even if it kills you, even if it brings in cancer, even if it brings in distress, even if it makes your life miserable, you want to be right.
Exactly.
Why not, instead of being right, feel good?
Yeah.
If feeling good was your priority, then choosing a perspective that aligns with feeling good has to win, has to be the proper outcome, has to be the goal in everything you do. Feeling good, how do I feel good? I have to think of it from this higher perspective, because from the limited perspective, I will never feel good. Why not? Because my inner self will send me an emotion that doesn't feel good. That's the basis of guidance. That's the basis of this entire reality.
Yeah, cool.
This has been an amazing conversation with incredibly brilliant creators, with people who are willing to engage in the potential for this new approach to life, with people who are willing to step outside the norms of society and not opt into all the fear. This is the highest level conversation that's occurring right now anywhere on the internet, and that this conversation will go forward to shape and modify the mass consciousness of the planet. So then when those are ready to opt out of the fear, opt out of their lockdown, opt out of their mask wearing, opt out of their worry and out of their confusion, when they're ready for that, well, then they'll be thinking about new questions to ask. And those of you who are maintaining this alignment and who are maintaining this positive energy of love and who are seeing that everything is working out perfectly will be ready to assist them. You will be inspired somehow, some way. They may show up to you personally. You may want to make a video. You may want to start a podcast. You might want to write a book or an article. You might want to do something. However it works out for you is the perfect way. Be open to that, but know that they will come. That they will come and they want to seek what you know. You haven't been doing this by accident. This has been something you've been interested in, which means that this is part of your pre-birth intentions. As long as you're interested in this, and as long as you see yourself as worthy of assisting others, then you will be the path of least resistance to this incredible loads of wonderful, inspired ideas. And so with that, we thank you for being here. We couldn't do this without you, and we are complete.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for joining us for this episode of Joshua Live. If you have a question you would like Joshua to answer on the show, send us a message on Facebook at www.facebook.com/teachingsofjoshua. As always, remember that you are loved more than you can imagine by more than you could ever count. We'll see you next time.